And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Unafeared we are. Unafeared. Yeah, what are we, Yoda? Unafeared. Unafeared here on Declare Your Independence. I'm here, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU Defil Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Ooh, that's better. All right, now we're going to be talking to Daryl Perry and get a postmortem on the convention. Because there was, he did really well. A lot of people didn't give him the street cred that he deserved. And I'm just wanting to make sure that they understand that there was a big, giant sigh of relief from me when Daryl Perry got enough tokens and was included in the national debate. And it provided such a tapestry up there and an option for everyone, five candidates, that Arizona, for the first time, didn't have any NOTA votes on the first round. And I don't remember that ever happened. I mean, just out of praying, what the heck, NOTA? None of the above. Daryl did so well and garnered the respect of so many people, even though he didn't have the shiniest suit or the best haircut or the prettiest, face or whatever the heck. It was just Daryl went there armed with principle and he kicked butt. And everybody's like, oh, but he. I'm going, hey, man, got to represent. I'm pushing for him to be up there representing. At the end of it, I think everybody understood the power and the influence that Daryl had. And now he's going to have another plan, something locally he's going to be working on, take this effort. Because he did get elected to the LNC, Libertarian National Committee. He was elected. He was going to be sad ass. He's like, I was sitting there when they were doing it. And he had texted someone there, said that he wanted to pull. He didn't want, the brain damage to go in meetings and the expense every quarter and doing them for what? When he could be doing something else. So let me introduce you, and one of my heroes, Mr. Daryl Perry. Daryl, I got you there.
Yes, you've got me, and thanks for having me on, Ernie.
Well,
let me just explain something on the whole. I was elected to the LNC, so the convention closed before we ever had the results of the LNC election. I was at the airport. And somebody that had been at the convention saw me and said, oh, I just got a text notification that results were posted on Twitter. And here's the two people that got a majority of the votes. And so my thinking was, since I was not chosen by a majority of the delegates, I did not wish to be considered for an appointment to a vacancy. I had no clue what any of the results were other than, I believe it was Sam Goldstein and Bill Redpath had received a majority of the vote, meaning that they, were properly elected.
Well,
and
it's
so
called,
then I sent a text to a couple of people saying, I don't wish to be considered for an appointment.
Well, let's go and understand how this works.
Yes.
Normally, you go through the election process over and over and over, and then we ran out of time. That always happens. So what happened was, is in the event that you don't have enough time to do the rounds of voting, because it's approval voting, which means you can put on a list of all the candidates or anybody, you can write the name on there or select them and say, these are people that I approve of from 1 to 100. I mean, it doesn't matter. These are the guys I approve. They total all those up, and the ones that get over 50% of the attendees there, of the delegates, then they are just on the LNC. Then you go to other rounds, and they didn't have time for that. So the ones of the five at-large positions that were available. Two of them got over 50%, and the rest of them, they got real close. I mean, you were like, you know, in third or fourth place. So what they do is they go, well, we'll just elect the highest vote getters of the people here onto this committee. Well, Daryl had said, well, I didn't have a majority and I don't want to. I mean, did you want to be? You would have been on the LNC. Did you want to be on the LNC?
Had I been properly elected, I would have served.
So this, he's like, nah, I don't want to be voted on. But what they did, they just took top vote getters and put them on there. They did something different with the Judiciary Committee, and they made the very argument that you said. They go, since there wasn't a majority approval of these people, we're going to go outside because we can. The elected two positions of the seven or whatever for judiciary, or three. There were three of them. And they go, we're going to select people. So they selected Michael Badnarik, Judge John Buttrick, Attorney Hall, Rob Hall, I think it was a previous attorney for the LNC, and then another guy, I can't remember, and then they filled it out. So they went outside of what you're talking about. They said, well, since we're going to go this route, because what they really wanted is some of the guys that they would have had to pick is just like been a cancer inside the party, and they didn't want to do it. They go, you know, we don't need this guy or this guy. We're not doing it. We're going to go outside and pick these guys and actually, you know, get some work done. And so I'm going, okay. So that was kind of classy of Daryl, but it was in the mindset that he could have been on the LNC, which is, you know, so, you know, but it, you had another plan. And that's what we're going to talk about today is your plan. Because you worked very hard. You traveled as much as you could. You went, or you had a campaign for President of the United States of America, Libertarian nomination. And it was amazing that, you know, there was opposition. The other guys, we don't want that. But there was enough support. I mean, it was significant. They were like, Daryl, Daryl, Daryl. And the no-compromise libertarian wing and Libertarian Party people definitely got their representation and had a say with you and William Cauley running as your VP. And or for VP, you know, you guys ran together. But it's there was a presence. And I really appreciated it. And it was why I was working, you know, the only amount of effort I did was one was, you know, hold up the I'm already against the next war sign. And, you know, to make sure there's enough tokens for you to be on the C-SPAN debate. And then yes. At the end of it, when you're doing all the group photo there, I kind of slid you that sign. And you walked around with it, and I don't know what happened to it, but you're out going out, and, you know, I'm already against the next war sign. Well,
and I love that that sign got plastered all over C-SPAN because, like, every camera was pointing at that while, you know, people are snapping photos. And I've seen, you know, several variants of, you know, that group photo of the four guys that were in the debate. And there I am holding up that I'm already against the next.
That was awesome. You know, and it was also during the debate, I was in the second row center and I could see where the cameras were. And I just lift the sign up and it was good. So they stopped doing pictures of the moderator because I was over there. But when they did you and McAfee, there it comes again, you know, like hello. Yep. So we had some fun with that. The thing is, it's all that street activism thing. But I'm looking at, you know, with your success in bringing back the philosophical heart of the Libertarian Party and showing that it is a viable contender, because it's at least, you know, 20 to 33%. It's a, you know, fifth to a third that was definitely represented there. And all the bad guys that want to take over something, they had to contend with you. And they were like, yes. You know, and it was, they didn't like it. And I'm just so glad it got represented. But
and one thing that I find very interesting is if you go back and you watch the debates from that very first debate in Biloxi back in late February to the final debate that we had on C-SPAN
weeks
ago, you will notice that people started sounding a lot more like Daryl.
Exactly.
And a lot less like Gary.
It happens in every campaign, whether here when we run for Congress or we run for statewide offices, legislature. You know, you'll sit there and you'll go blah, 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 blah. By the end of the campaign, and sure as hell by the next election cycle, they're sounding like you. Because the no-compromise principle position gets the most support from the people in the audience. They get, they're like, wow, they're excited. Oh my God. Well, I could say that. You know, so they do. They mean it. Well, Daryl Perry made sure that they were able to define it because he was there giving examples. More. Harold Perry would come back.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
Do you want to talk a little bit more about, you know, your after? You got some more you want to talk about, you know, the during or the campaign or what's happened since, or Gary Johnson, you know, wants to be on your fan club list or what?
I'm up for talking about whatever you feel like going in the direction.
Well, I definitely want to get back to what
definitely,
you're
going to be. I definitely at some point do want to talk about the what's next thing.
Yeah, no, but, well, that's what I'm asking. Are you... You full up? You done with what you want to talk about? What happened in the campaign? Or you got some stuff you want to talk about?
I can't think of anything about the campaign that I necessarily want to bring up. But, you know, if you want to talk about convention, we could definitely talk about convention.
Well, I just want to talk, you know, the only thing I just wanted your impression of the support that you had. I mean, there was resistance. I mean, the biggest criticism that I was getting is like the guys, you know, the suits from Nevada that wanted to take over the planet. They're like, well, they're like, yeah, but Daryl doesn't have a good suit to be on. I'm going, oh, you know how many times I've heard this crap? You know, shut up. It's
yeah,
all
let's
images.
Talk about that a little bit.
All right. Well, then, and then I do want to get into the, you know, the start of the mission of the next plan of whip ass, you know, there, because it's always, you go back local and you have some successes and doing some whip ass, and it's inspiration for others, and they know what the rhetoric that you're going to use, and it's going to be an even better example because they know the advocacy and the policy and the principal positions that you take, and you do it locally, it'll be an inspiration for a bunch of states. So I definitely want to get back to that, but we'll get into the, you know, shiny badge syndrome, you know. All right, we'll be right back, 10 seconds.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation is satisfaction in me.
Yeah, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. You know what? Daryl Perry did a lot of satisfying. I was really, really, really happy that he was in the campaign, that he did what he did. He stayed true to the message and demonstrated that there was a big, giant block of support for what he had to say. And, you know, they kind of, and I know it's going to have an impact on future candidates, which is one of the big, you know, points of this whole thing, is that you have influence not only on the other guys outside, but inside. You know, it's kind of, yeah, damn, that, wow. And, you know, and he's not, you know, 6'4 with a bulging bicep, the big, purdy kind of coiffed hair of the, you know, whatever, somebody, something, you know, and it came off, man, he kicked ass. So it was a really good example coming from a real down-earth guy that really had the faith in the message to people that either didn't have the faith, needed their faith restored, and you did a really good job. I'm very, I hate to use proud, but I was proud of myself, you know, having noticed this and recognized this and been part of it and supportive of you from the beginning. So I'm wondering, you know, do you think the attitudes towards your campaign changed while you were there as the days went on?
I think it did. And I've had conversations with people who said, you know, like when I first heard about your campaign, I thought, oh, this is just some weird guy that's, you know, trying to do something kooky. He's not taking checks or Federal Reserve notes. He's only doing cryptocurrencies. His campaign's not going to take off. He's probably not even going to make it to convention. And, you know, there were a bunch of candidates that didn't make it to the national convention. There were some that showed up and didn't have enough support to either be entered into nomination, which required only 30 tokens, let alone be involved in the debate, which wound up, I think it was like 87, 88 tokens wound up being needed for that. So, you know, I definitely did wind up, you know, picking up support during the campaign. And I think I picked up more support at the convention than, on the one hand, I kind of expected. But at the same time, based on the straw poll that happened the night before the convention began, there was that unofficial debate hosted by the Libertarian State Leadership Alliance, where I wound up pulling, I think it was 22 or 23% in that straw poll. And I was thinking, okay, if the results of the first round of balloting on Sunday are anywhere near what these results are, then I can walk out of the convention hall as the nominee. And I thought that for a couple reasons. First, it meant that I would not be the first or the second person eliminated. Those two people would have thrown support behind me. And then when it came down to me, Gary, and Austin, I'm fairly certain most of Austin's supporters would have come to me instead of Gary, because Austin was, you know, portraying himself as the anti-Gary when really he was kind of Gary Light.
Yeah.
But, you know, if on Sunday I would have gotten over 20% on the first ballot, I would have been the nominee. I'm convinced of it. But there were a lot of people that showed up late Saturday night. They weren't there for any of the bylaws or platform stuff on Friday. None of the bylaws, platform stuff on Saturday. They weren't even there for the debate. They, you know, show up in the middle of the night. They come in, they vote for president, vote for vice president, and then they leave. They didn't even stick around to vote for chair. And no, the thing that frustrated me the most was the vice presidential balloting, where on the second ballot, we were so close to having an actual libertarian on the ticket. We were so close. But I think a bunch of people wound up, and it wasn't a bunch, it was like, you know, 15 or 20, but people wound up voting for Bill Weld just to get the balloting over, because they're like, well, we know he's going to win on the third ballot, and I don't want there to have to be a third ballot, so I'll go ahead and vote for him.
50 point whatever. To 49 point
votes.
Something.
Yeah, he had an close. 18 vote. You know, it was 18 votes above majority.
Okay, I want to talk about this one Alicia Dern thing when she brought Weld up. Again, did you see that? Were you there for that?
Yeah, I saw that. And, you know, he did not answer her question.
Well, describe to the people what happened.
So Alicia Dern, and a lot of people suspect that she had jumped in thinking that she would wind up being Gary's choice because she's a ballot access attorney, and she's done some really good work on behalf of, you know, candidates' rights to be placed on the ballot. Well, what was it? 2 weeks prior to the convention, Gary says, I want this former governor of Massachusetts who totally screwed over the LP in 2006 to be my vice president. And so then at convention, Alicia Dern gets up during her period for making a nominating speech and basically used it to stump for Bill Weld by bringing him up on stage and asking him questions of, do you promise not to betray the party?
Not to stab him in the back.
And he said, well, if by betray the party, you mean go back to the Republicans, well, I'm a life member of this party. So, no, I will not do that. Well, he joined the party 2 weeks prior, and life member just means that he was able to write a $1,500 check.
Yeah, no, this is what happened is Alicia Dern would have been a quality VP candidate. You had a ex-Marine, young, you know, black businessman up there, Larry Sharp, running. Then you got a female VP attorney, you know, running. And you had options, and there was all kinds of benefit. But we look at principle. You know, I'm just like, all right, how are they going to sell it? What's their advocacy? You know, Sharp or Dern would have been fine. Weld, I can't work with that. I mean, I'm not going to be able to help because it's not going to work for what we do. But Alicia calls him up. She's like, wanted to give Gary what he wanted. All right, just take away. And she would have pulled and endorsed Weld if he would have answered one question. She goes, she brings him up during her speech. He comes up. Would you tell the people that you won't stab him in the back? Well, a non-denial of I'm a life member and I got my card and I paid my money and I'm, you know, for life I'll be. No, but will you not stab him back? Will you not betray? Yeah, I got my card. I'm a life member. He didn't say it. So we're banging on the table. Say it. Say it. Say it. He wouldn't say it.
He wouldn't say it. He left the stage. And so then I walk fairly rapidly up behind him and said, Governor, I have a question. And like one of his handlers tried pushing me away. But the governor looked at me and I said, will you, if you get this nomination, will you promise to not withdraw? And he said, why would I do that? I said, because you've done it before. And he gave me this weird smirk and started to walk away. And I asked the question again. And I asked the question again. And finally, the fourth time I asked the question, he said, I won't withdraw. And I then said,
yeah, there's something
weird
going on.
I don't believe the man.
Yeah, we're going to find out as time goes on how that there's some weird going on. But, you know, there's a plan that Daryl has to spend his time on. We're going to find out what it is. Let's go ahead and talk about your project, for lack of a better word. What is it?
Liberty Lobby LLC.
Okay,
a crowdfunded lobbyist.
Oh, that's a good freaking idea.
Yeah.
Damn. I wonder if I could do something like that here. I'd support somebody that would do it, though. It's not like I got time or freaking inclination. They need a that is a really good idea.
Yeah.
I'm wondering who I should get to do it here, because I could do it, but, you know, take time and, like, yeah, talk to legislators and stuff. You know,
well, you got to talk to legislators. You've got to read bills. I'm already doing this stuff for fun. I'm just trying to monetize it.
No, that's a really good idea. I'd support that. You know, have you got a paywall, some kind of something contributing, give me money thing?
Yeah, that's right there on the website, libertylobby.xyz.
All right, let's do this. XYZ. Why XYZ?
Well, .com was available for $1,200.
Oh, bite me. Liberty.
And I was able to get the .xyz for 2 cents.
I didn't know there was an XYZ.
Yeah, they started rolling out a bunch of new extensions.
Good. Okay, about Liberty Lobby, LLC, contribute, subscribe, mailing list, dude, what? Okay, so it's going to be a thing. You're going to keep doing your radio stuff and all whatever, and then this. That's a good idea. You got help? Somebody help you with stuff?
Well, what I'm going to do...
We'll talk about this on the air.
Updates at updates.lrn.fm. That's updates.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
You know, it's all made that way by, you know, some people that are in it. And Daryl Perry has definitely got the right philosophy and the right heart and the right demeanor and the right focus, you know, and the time and the passion. And, you know, and he's demonstrated that. You know, a lot of the guys, when you first started doing your running for President of the United States of America, I know a lot of people probably went, seriously, Daryl? I mean, you know, and you were serious about it, and you emphasized the things that I was hoping would get in. You did a great job, and I'm wondering if you got enough props from your friends and family and cohorts there in New Hampshire. Are they feeling at the end of this thing you did a good job?
Yeah, it it seems that people are appreciating what I've done. I've been getting a lot more fan mail after the run than I did during the run, which is kind of strange. But at the same time, it's really interesting, you know, like reading these emails from people saying that, you know, like me being on that stage has encouraged them to run for a local office.
Absolutely.
And encourage them to, you know, figure out ways that they can help try to influence stuff locally. And that's really what I wanted to do. That and expand the conversation.
You know,
and
this is when
it
you
seems
did-
as though, you know, like towards the end of the run, the conversation wound up being focused on gay Nazi cakes, and Larry Elder somehow brought up the whole thing of should blind 5-year-olds be able to drive while shooting up heroin. And I just want to say, like, whoever made the decision to hire Larry Elder to moderate the libertarian presidential debate should be fired.
Well, Larry Elder, the guy that did, I know he was some kind of, I've heard the name, is a talk show host where, in the West Coast or somewhere. Where's his, I don't know, I don't pay attention.
Yeah, I think he's based somewhere out in the West Coast.
Yeah, whatever.
I think he's on Salem, so he's on, I think, a bunch of, like, you know, Christian sort of stations.
Well, it was, and they did fine. It was, you know, the hardcore questions of libertarians need to answer, and you had such a wide tapestry of, and they're all, you know, like, libertarian answers. You know, Gary Johnson probably leaked more than most, but it was, you know, you made them look moderate to the people. At least they saw the common theme, you know, with the libertarian message and what it was. But I wanted to talk about, you know, the inspiration that you've had for a lot of, that's where I knew. I tell you what, Daryl, I can't think of a single time that I've come out openly endorsing a presidential candidate for anything. It was only you. I've never done it because there hasn't been anyone that I thought would represent, you know, the man. And I defended it. Everybody goes, yeah, but I go, oh, shut up. You know how many times I've heard this before? You don't worry about it. Darryl do fine. You did great. And so did Will. You know, and I'm just, you know, colleague running for VP. So I'm really happy it worked out the way it did. But now what? I mean, you know, you're in New Hampshire. You got the Free State Project, Trigger the Move. We Have Enough. Oh, my God, we're doing something. You got some legislators. You got, you know, activities going and activism going on there and so on. And you got a plan to inspire some more people to do something. What is it?
Oh, I do have a plan. And it's, you know, oddly not a new plan. It's something that I've been doing for a while. I'm just trying to now monetize what I've been doing. And that is basically being a lobbyist for liberty. To where for the last couple of years, pretty much every week that the legislature is in session where there's committee hearings, I've gone up at least once a week, sometimes two or three times, to testify on various legislation. And I'm going to continue doing that and hopefully do more of that if I can wind up raising the low, low amount of $5,000 per year. Which, when you think about lobbyists, that's an incredibly cheap amount for a lobbyist.
Oh, yeah.
And
no,
what
no,
I'm
no.
looking that's to do, nothing. I'm not looking to find a big special interest. Ernie, I want you to be my special interest. I want your listeners to be my special interest.
You've demonstrated that already. So I'm like, you know, let Daryl go. Well, he might be too abrasive or too principled or too good. You know, good.
Good. That's how you enter negotiation. I view legislation like a giant negotiation sort of thing. When you go to buy a new car, Ernie, and I'm not sure if you've done this recently. I sure as hell haven't. But when you go in to buy a new car, you don't walk in and say, I'll give you 500 below sticker, knowing that they'll accept it. You go in and you say, I'll give you 2,000 below sticker. And they come back, well, how about 500? How about 1,500 below sticker? Let me go talk to my manager. comes back. We can do 1,000, but we can't go any lower. All right, done. So, one, you get more than what you thought you would get going in. You didn't get as much as what you asked for, but that's how negotiations work. You always ask for more than what you want.
Well,
and
how
then
are you going to?
You hope to get more than what you thought you would get.
Well, there's legislation. It's going to be, you know, just so abhorrent. There is no degree of I negotiate away. Compromise is death. I mean,
true.
I'm wondering.
But there are other things, and the drug war is one of them. To where, you know, here in New Hampshire, it's still possibly a felony to have over like an ounce of cannabis. It's definitely a misdemeanor to have a certain amount. So when we talk about decrim, it's passed through the House here in New Hampshire, I believe 8 times over the last 10 years, but it always dies in the Senate. But the Senate will always reduce it from 1 ounce to half or 1 ounce to a quarter. So you always ask, you know, like, all right, go in and testify and say, you know what, there should not be any laws on this at all. But if you're going to pass something, you know, this is a good step in the right direction. And so then, you know, you ask for more, shouldn't be any laws, but what you have in front of you, it's a kind of step in the right direction.
You know,
hopefully you get something to where no more people are going to jail for possessing a plant.
All right, if you're going to be playing, I've been doing a lot of, you know, I lobby in a different way. We just oppose them, do them, slap them around, and be butt heads. But, you know, I'm changed the culture, and I'm hoping that if I was supporting you doing this, it's going to be the print, just like you did in your campaign, the principle comes out first. And
yes.
This is, and what I'm not encouraging or endorsing anything that they're going to be voting on, other than making it clear what you oppose of in the whole legislation. Now, if they do an amendment to take out something or try not to piss you off or whatever, you know, cool, but I'm not going to be advocating for any kind of they rule me crap. The other thing is when they actually do pass legislation or get something, you know, done that might be freedom oriented, you know, a little loving never hurt. Or if they real egregious and pass something through, then it's whip ass time. And you got to have candidates going up. You got to challenge them. You got to have an infrastructure. You got to, you know, have some hand, or they don't give a crap what you say, you know?
Right. And there's already an organization that exists here in New Hampshire that does a lot of the, you know, sort of slap around in a metaphorical sense of the legislators. There's the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, where I've been one of the top bill reviewers the last 2 years. This last year, I believe I officially reviewed 150, 160 pieces of legislation. I read probably twice that many. And so what the NHLA will do is every Wednesday when the legislature goes to vote on bills, they pass out the gold standard of here's bills that you should either vote for or oppose. And then at the end of the year, they rank the legislators. And they will, you know, actually wind up trying to recruit candidates to run against the people that wind up getting D's, F's, and constitutional threats. They find people to run against those that get a dereliction of duty, meaning that they did not show up to the legislature. So, you know, there is that infrastructure to do what you're saying about recruiting candidates. But what I'm hoping to do is actually show up every time there's a committee
hearing to advocate
for freedom.
No, somebody needs to do it, and Daryl Prove and do it and give money and do it. I'm going to donate right now and do it. You know, everybody go do it. Let's do it. Get her done. You know, the thing, we had this here before. It was called the Libertarian Party.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver.
And then it just kind of, you know, they went, you know, wanted to have influence and vote for me and all, and I didn't care. But, you know, if you can resurrect this, I want to help. All right, so let me go help. Let me do this, and you're going to take all my Bitcoin, I'm sure. Let's see. I go in here, and it says contribute. I click a one-time contribution, recurring. All right, where's your QR code? Damn it. Daryl,
yeah.
Where's your QR code? Are I going to do some Bitcoin, or I got to send? How am I going to do this?
No, you can do Bitcoin. So click on one time.
Yeah, but I don't see it says Bitcoin anywhere up here. You should say that. Oh, now after I click it, okay. Well, you know, I'm... All right, so Bitcoin...
You can click BitPay, Coinbase, altcoins, or copy the QR code.
Okay, copy QR code.
Or copy the address.
Dang it. Go on my phone to... Click. Donna, go get my phone, will you please? All right, I'll do it that way. Seeing as how Bitcoin is $1 billion now. What is it now, anyway?
Was 581 when I did the news this morning. According to the widget on my phone, it's 576 right now.
Okay, so I'm going Liberty Lobby. Time I got this fast enough. I can do it. Okay, bam, 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 boom. Boom. Did Derek fix the media thing? Or just my... Liberty. Damn, there's a bunch of them, man. I'm going to have to get all anal here. Okay, Liberty XYZ, right?
LibertyLobby.xyz.
Is that starting to be picked up by search engines? Yeah, I guess so, because I said it before. Okay, blah, blah, blah. About, menu. About, contribute one time. Okay, now I do this. Copy that. Copy. Got 1 minute. I can do it. Bleeding Bitcoin. Damn it. Rest. Paste. Done. $50. Because I'm okay. Boom!
Thank you, Arnie.
Boom! See, third boom. Liberty Lobby. There. Boom. All right. Cool. Yeah. All right,
you rock. Thank you.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Be in hiding much longer. Daryl Perry going to do some ass whipping in New Hampshire legislature and be an example to others. You know, and that really is, before we used to have a, it was a box that you would get down at the state legislature, the House mailroom that went to all the legislators. And it was they put on the pre-filed bills and everything. So you had to go out and down multiple times a day, or they would throw them all away. It just wouldn't fit in the box. So we go down there the first week of the session. We had people that go on shifts, just go down there, just get all the paper. And we'd start going through them. What the hell is this? Well, now it's electronic, too. And you can get it. Yeah, you can't trust them there either. But it's a lot easier now to do it and sit around the big table and drink beer and, you know, just eat pizza and go through bills. And we found some nasty stuff, but it was so much diligence. And I'm going, you know, I'd rather inoculate the people first from this kind of crap, or that legislators don't even introduce this stuff because they know better, or the legislators themselves are more freedom oriented because we changed the population. And you know, so I, you know, kind of got away from that, trying to convince them and doing the battle on the front lines there until you can get the people done, kind of what Darryl did with his campaign for president. Well, now with that, and you got some understanding and background and videos and his debates and who he is and what he's about and how now he's running as pay me lobbyist for freedom and going down there and doing this, you know, it might be time. I'm interested to see what happens. Certainly in New Hampshire, we got the Free State Project and some elected legislators and some hearings and doing, you know, it'll be interesting. So I'm in, man. I go to libertylobby.xyz, libertylobby.xyz. And I just went to one-time contribution, Bitcoin, pay, boom, $50, and Bic done now. Wait a little while, be $100, you know, or 20. I mean, depends. But the, you know, so I'm
hopefully
just,
100.
Yeah. So I'm going, you know, this is, I'm in with this. I want to stay, you know, so I'm challenging you to, you know, go for it and don't take any prisoners, man.
Yeah, and what I'm hoping to be able to do, and again, I'm only seeking $5,000 a year, which is incredibly cheap for a lobbyist because I'm not looking for that big special interest. I'm looking for people that, like you, can throw in $50
or
somebody that can throw in like 10 or 20. I've got one person that's already committed to $5 a month.
Yeah, which, you want to get gas money.
Right. I want to cover gas money, and that way it doesn't hurt as bad when I take a day off work. Because when I go up to testify, I have to take a day off of work to go up to testify. So I'm just, you know, basically looking to cover expenses from people that wish that they had a voice at the legislature.
All right, I'm going to hook you up. Here's a, you know, I haven't really emphasized it because we're in the transition doing coding and getting kind of set up for the new next of all kinds of decentralized stuff. And, but we still have, you know, we have the funding center, and, I'd like to, you know, cause we've raised probably, I don't know, $16,000 for Larkin Rose Mirror Project on there. You go to Freedom's Phoenix Funding Center. I'm going to hook you up with Donna and set this up there as one of the funding options. Cause I think it's all about making me look good and giving people good projects. And there really aren't that many that I, you know, would endorse people do the money. I like this one. All right. And I think you've earned it. And we're going to go ahead and promote that a little bit. And I'll put it up. Donna, would you help when we get done? You'll help set Darryl up on that. Done. Boom shakalaka. You got 10 minutes after the show to spend with Donna?
Certainly.
You know, and I charge for that. No, what we're going to do is put up the funding center up there for this project. And we'll promote it a little bit because I think we can get you, you know, $5,000 to, you know, put you in earnest, serious, go kick ass on this thing, because I've done it before. In fact, I was probably you know, back in the mid-90s, and we had our first big libertarian headquarters when I was chair and so on, and we'd go down and get all these, and we got them in our safe box, which is Second Amendment is for everyone, and for some reason, the party thing was hard, but we got for that, man, Second Amendment, we got our box. So we took on all the legislation, went through. I know how much of an effort that is because thousands get introduced. I mean, it's a lot. So you got big stacks of paper and everybody just starts sitting around looking at what, and you go, ooh, I see what they're doing here. And we stopped a bunch of crap. And I'm looking at this being not just for you guys. It's an example for everyone, but it's just a bunch of brain damage work. But I'm going, I think it's time. Is it the policies start to change? I can see to where people can see a pattern of who is really controlling the legislature with all these stupid bills that get put up. So I'm where's the freedom aspect? Where's the, you know, move your spacefaring super computerized robot factory, whatever, come here, and we're not going to give you a damn thing other than leave you alone. How about that? And they go, okay, we can do that. We can work with that. So this is, it's time. And I think, you know, the rep and what you've been able to accomplish and the principles that you held steadfast and working this, I want to help. I want to endorse. But You know, how are the people there? You know, now in the Keeney acts there and the activism of in the street on the sidewalk kind of stuff, the hardcore and the softcore kind of libertarian guys, are they still supporting your efforts?
I just launched Liberty Lobby officially yesterday, so I've not really had a chance to speak with most of the, you know, activists here in Keene, but it does seem that, you know, there are going to be people that support me. There's, you know, some people that gave lip service to supporting my campaign, when I was running for, you know, seeking the, Libertarian Party nomination for the presidential nomination. There were people that gave lip service, but now let's see if somebody will actually throw $5 behind me.
Yeah, I can see this as one less thing I got to do. You know, Daryl wants to do it, and he's of the right mind. You know, because a lot of times people, they will see legislation, they not understand what's coming, what's in it, what they're really jockeying for. They don't see it. And then when they do see it, they're negotiating for, okay, well, how can I benefit, and what's in it for me, and how, you know, it's kind of, you know, and this open source crowd-funded kind of effort like this, you know, with Daryl that approved himself not to be communist, I'm like, yeah, you know, there's few people that I would do that. Power to you, man. Right on. So I'm really encouraging this. I'd like to talk to you more about it when we come for Pork Fest. And Taryn called me yesterday, got us all hooked up on, you know, final stuff and everything. So I appreciate that. But are you going to be at Pork Fest, or are you one of the, you know, not going guys?
I will not be going to Pork Fest, partly because they said that Free Talk Live can't be broadcast from there. So, well, what am I going to do? Drive 3 hours, hang out for an hour, turn around and drive back, and then do the show. So I initially thought about possibly going up for the weekend, but my 20-year high school reunion is that same weekend, and a couple people that I went to school with sent me emails and said, Daryl, we'd love to see you at the reunion. So I'm heading back down south the weekend for my 20-year reunion.
Where's that?
Birmingham, Alabama.
You know, and Daryl Perry, yeah. And I ran for president of the United States. What have you guys been doing? that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. Well, good, you know, good luck. And you know, I'm also interested in the state legislature there in New Hampshire during this election process. And of course, you always get a lot of attention during presidential election season. Are they, they know you're coming? I mean, if you start doing this and you're showing up and you're going to be a regular, like, damn it. You know, what kind
of... Oh, I'm already a regular. They're just going to see more of me, and I'll be wearing a nice little orange badge.
Well, what kind of retaliation have you gotten? Do they make fun of? They, you know, poo-poo? They don't want to talk to? Are they being respectful? How they treat
you? No, there's a bunch of the reps that they will stop me in the hallway to ask me about legislation that's not even in their committee because they see me all the time and they know that I'm knowledgeable about stuff.
Yeah, they're looking for the 3x5 card rhetoric of how they're going to be against it or for it or whatever because they just can't think for themselves. So, you know, they need to, yeah, no, I'm hip to that. You know, yeah. I tell you, you know you're winning when the reporters call you up and they'll say, here, there's a paragraph I wrote, you know, about your position on. And they read it to you and you go, is that good? And you go, yeah, that's good. And, you know, then they're trained and you don't have to do it anymore. You know, that's when you win. When I got, you know, it took me like 15, 20 years to get to that point. But then you go, all right, Ernie, I go, yep, that's good. Thanks for doing my work for me. So I'm looking forward to the next. What we're going to do is we're going to emphasize the funding center because it's for, I have it there for just this kind of thing. When I have something that I want to, and it doesn't happen very often. I mean, it's, you know, like one a year or two or whenever I feel like it. But we have the infrastructure to be able to put on a project that readers at Freedom's Phoenix can know about it and easily contribute. And nothing goes to us. Just goes straight to them. All right. Hold on. What we're going to go ahead and do is I'm going to have Donna. Give us a number she can call.
She can give me a call. 205.
205-863-0110. 0110. You want that out on the planet?
That's my personal cell phone. Let me actually give you another number to everybody.
Well, it's going on the video, so I guess they know your personal number now.
Okay.
All right, you're done. All right. Now just leave it going. All right, so we're going to go ahead and have Donna's going to call you on the line and then walk you through it. Just have some information for her, and if you don't have everything, we can get it done. But it was set up just to do just this kind of thing. So then once we got it done, then we'll promote it on the site, and I'll make a woohoo out of it a little bit, and maybe we can get you a little bit of money.
Cool.
And I'm you know, if I could send it to, if you have delegate databases, you know, from your run and everything, once you get that link, I would send it to them and say, this is what we're doing endorsement of, and Ernie said, and kind of, you know, fork it over, and this is best 5 months a month you ever spent, you little slacker. You'll be a slacktivist. Daryl's on the job. So the infrastructure also, you know, some of the, whatever techniques or mechanisms or tools that you use to do this or how you communicate can be a template for a lot of other people in all other states. And we talked to, in the first hour, one of the Libertarian Youth Caucus guys.
Yeah, and I was listening to part of that.
Yeah, they're all about paperwork, man. I'm just so done with paperwork. But, you know, they got whatever. It would be interesting to have some of the youth doing this to help, because what we learned in doing the going to get into the legislation, actually reading, and you're like, golly, man, you can see the immersion of the crap. And I'm just, and it's getting worse. It got so bad that it was a time waste to even mess with it before you had the people even understanding what the issues were. And then when the 07 Levolution came in, that was a big, giant dose of freaking thank you, because it needed to be understood by the people what the real problems were. And so all this other stuff was just them consolidating their power and how much of a rip on the carcass that the shark frenzy could get off the whale kind of thing, you know, get their turn. So go ahead and keep me informed on this. I want to be in the loop on this thing and see what we can do to help, because I'd like to use it as inspiration for a resurrection of it here. But I just
I want to use it as inspiration for people to do something similar across the country.
Yeah.
You know, like I've got on the website that this is basically a beta test to see if it's possible to crowdfund a lobbyist.
You know, I hesitate. I mean, there was a time probably 10 years ago I would have jumped, I'll go get some, you know. It's like I need another project. But let me see if I can come up with someone that can work with you that would be a representative here. You know, I'd rather not do it myself. I mean, I will if I have to, and I can't find anybody. But, you know, maybe I can come up with somebody that's a Daryl Perry wannabe that could be, you know, kind of crowdsource funded too, or be part of, or template or something. You know, because this is a state-by-state, because we're going to be doing a big mailing to all the libertarians in the state for a project that we're doing on the election. And we were thinking of doing a newspaper, but Donna's like, kiss my ass. You can't pay me enough to do another paper in the, you know, summer of, you know, bite me. So we'll see what we can come up with. You know, this is a good idea. All right, Donna's going to call you and hook that up. You know, congratulations on just sticking through the entire process, going to convention, doing what you did. I was so happy, but I knew you well enough to know that you were going to, I was willing for the first time, like ever, come out and endorse a presidential anything. And I did it for you because I just knew that you were going to see it through. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Peace, brother. Talk to you later.
Later.